Radio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from the LiveX studios in Midtown Manhattan, and we are ready to talk some Packers. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap today?
Today, we're going to try to figure out what the hell went wrong in Detroit and get ready for Monday Night Football Niners. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Davante Adams.
We got the bad. We got
Aaron Charles Rogers.
We got the ugly. We got
Mason Crosby. I like how I said that. Like, Mason, doinky doink.
Mason, I can't believe I haven't been fired yet, Crosby.
He's not going to be fired. He was 10 of 11 coming into that game. And that one miss was that really long one that he tried against the Vikings.
Whatever. So. He should be fired.
Okay, but let's just not talk about ugly stuff.
Oh, yeah,
stuff.
That's right.
No
right.
Bad
wait,
stuff.
Wait. There's someone special here today.
There is indeed. Which is why I don't want to talk
Someone
about the ugly.
In the studio.
I don't want to talk about the bad. No, we enough of the Skype nonsense. We brought someone in.
Who do we bring?
Grassy Posse Posse Grassy Packers!
Snaps.
Tom Grassy.
Tom Grassy, YouTube
Look
celebrity.
YouTube oh sensation. Hey. Packer blogger vlogger oh, hey. YouTuber extraordinaire.
Wow. Wow, I got this out of the sink. I hope that's okay. I got that. Thank you guys so much for having me.
How
wow.
the hell are you?
I am wonderful.
Yeah?
I am stupendous. These are adjectives that I didn't use after the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Not at all.
We're gonna wait. Before we let's not dive.
We won't get depressed just yet.
Just
not
yet.
Yet.
But welcome.
Thank you. This is bigger than my house. Just this room. Just this room is
just
bigger
room.
Than my house. Yeah,
that's a very common to the tri-state area.
Yeah, I live in a box.
Real estate being what it is. But thank you so much for making the trip here.
Absolutely.
Joining us in studio.
It only cost me $16,000 to park, and I have to say, like, it was well worth it to get this glass.
There you go. See? We're all good. All right, so as we always do, we got to start with some Packers news.
Yes.
Packers news. There's no news! Because Mike McCarthy didn't have them practicing today, and there was no media availability, so all the stuff we usually talk about on Wednesdays is being pushed off till Thursday because of Monday Night Football. So that's kind of annoying. So there was no practice today. What do we think? Now, obviously, you're coming off a game where you lost, you look bad doing it, blah, blah, blah. I know there's some traditionalists who will say, well, they should be practicing regardless. And Mike is very much of the, we got to let their bodies rest and recover.
Yeah.
Where do you guys fall on that?
I think the relaxation is super important because Aaron Rodgers was able to see the Avid brothers last night. And I feel like
I saw that
hopefully that is
That's
going
right.
to kind of lift his spirits a little bit and teach him how to throw again. That would be great. That would be wonderful.
Woo.
Wow.
Grassy coming out with the heat.
Listen,
early.
So wait, do you think Mason Crosby should have been fired?
No, I don't. Mm.
I hate you now.
I know. But so a few years ago, did you think he should have been fired?
Yes.
Well, you mean in 2012 when he was struggling and they
yes.
stuck with him and then he became
like
the most awesome kicker in the history of awesome?
He is still not the most awesome kicker
he's
in the history
pretty,
of awesome.
He's pretty good. Come
he's,
on.
He's pretty
okay,
good.
Okay, mister, we should draft. We should have. You're glad we drafted a punter?
Well, after watching him punt.
J.K. Scott, amazing.
Lord.
He is like 15 years old and he's living his dream. So don't stomp on that.
I Mason Crosby has never been a top three kicker.
I don't know what.
He's been a top five kicker.
Why?
He's never been a top three
he's
kicker.
He's really good.
He's pretty good.
He's not. We could have actually won the game. And guess who lost the game
what?
For us?
Aaron Rodgers and Mason Crosby?
Mason Crosby.
All right.
It's a different game.
All right. We're already off the script. Give it to us.
Just garbage.
Yeah,
all right.
Exactly.
Well, here's the thing. While Mason Crosby had the worst game of his life, right? Like he went home.
Right?
And,
like ever.
Ever. Like, and he... that was a solid weeping session that he had afterwards. I can't put the entire fault on him because like our offense didn't produce. We just didn't play well at all. I don't put any of it on our defense because our defense it led up a ton of points in the first half, but we gave up the ball what three times and like they had a very short field to go. So
they were put in some bad spots.
But I think Rodgers missed a ton of plays. I his throws didn't look really that great. And I think you also have receivers who also can't get separation. Now, sometimes they did.
They did sometimes.
But overall, I think the offense is not gelling well together. I don't know if that's because of lack of practice.
See, but
I don't know.
That brings us right back, and now we're back on script. Okay. But so shouldn't they be practicing today? I mean,
no, you do the routine.
I heard the Avid Brothers are really good. Like, I heard they're just monumental to see live.
You do the routine. That's what you got to do.
Right.
So this is the NFL. Right. This is a pro league.
Yep.
You do the routine.
I feel that.
So you do what you do.
You push it off a day, and you make it sync up with your regular work week.
Yeah, I don't change. Right. I when my staff messes up.
Here we go.
We don't change the program. The process is the process. The result. You know, you don't change your journey because of the result, right?
I hear you.
That was deep. That was like out of a fortune cookie.
Well, it depends on how bad.
I mean, our journey's pretty terrible right now, but I mean, we are still, listen, I think we're a lot of doom and gloom right now.
Yeah,
the entire fan base, we're the second in the NFC North. I mean, like, let's be honest. And it's the Bears. It's the Bears.
Yeah. They're going
to
fall apart.
I have to say that because if they don't fall apart, my life is going to fall apart.
Yeah.
So, like, I have to just keep on projecting those insecurities.
Well, my favorite is, like, you know, because, like, the Bears still suck is a thing.
Sure.
And, of course, because they suck. Because they're the Bears.
Absolutely.
Like, this is, you know, this is logic.
Yes.
And I keep having people ask me, because the Bears win or whatever, you know, and then the Packers lost and the Bears didn't play last Sunday. So it's like, oh, Aaron, oh, did the Bears still suck? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they still suck.
That's never going to not be a thing.
Exactly.
There's like, a song.
They suck in perpetuity.
Exactly. Yeah.
Perpetuity.
Precisely.
Yes.
All right, back to news. God, we're gonna drive through this script.
See, now you have Tom, so he's going to get you. I'm pulling you off. He's going to pull you off.
Yeah, I got to really drive through this. all right. So the one little tiny morsel of news that we can glean from Mike McCarthy on Monday is that Jair Alexander has a chance to play Monday night against the 49ers because there's an extra day. But hey, you know, groin injuries, you don't want to mess with them. We've seen them jump up on guys before and become a real problem throughout a season. So I'm fine the week before the bye week if they sit him down again. That's just me.
Slow down, Nagler.
I'm just saying.
Okay, we need the rookie on the field.
I know. He's okay. Really good. You know what? Here's my thing. Like, can we have him returning punts?
Please.
Like, anybody? You mean not Tremont Williams? Why not? Did you see how many yards he got on Sunday? It was incredible.
Okay.
It was like the fastest. Yeah.
You're touching the third rail now. that's Corey's boy.
Okay.
No, I like Tremont Williams.
I love Tremont Williams.
Don't get me wrong. I like Tremont Williams. He should not be returning punts.
There's a reason.
He's like 67 years old.
His hands. And even then, he should have come up and gotten that fucking ball that ended up not touching Kevin King, but touching Kevin King, according to the NFL.
Kevin King, though, by the way, real quick, he did not look great on Sunday either. Is that a lingering injury kind of thing?
I think it's a little rust coming off a couple weeks off, and then he gets out there, and it sure looked. Now, you can't say for sure because you're not privy to the play calls,
sure,
but it sure looked on the touchdowns that he gave up that he was expecting help to the inside.
Yeah.
Both, they shared a common theme.
Yeah.
So
okay,
I'm not gonna kill him.
I gotta respond to the chat. I don't normally do this.
Here we go.
I have Tom in the house. So amazing how quickly these so-called Packer fans abandon their team. Brewers, anyone? Okay. I'm gonna ban you for saying the Brewers in our feed because I don't even know who the Brewers are, first of all. This is a Packers show.
Why are you lying?
Okay.
Why are you lying?
So slow down. Did the Brewers lose yet?
I don't know.
I don't know because they're not going to be here in.
They're
not going to be here in.
They're
not going to be here in January when the Packers are here.
That's right, okay? Because the season will be over.
It's too cold.
If you look at the history of this show,
right
in week five,
right,
what are we typically doing?
Talking about the Packers,
pulling everyone off of the ledge,
right?
Because that's typically what happens in week five.
Yep.
There's a couple years where it's golden,
it's going okay,
it's going great,
but usually.
Usually, we're pulling people off the ledge, so we still need to be doing that. It's not gloom and doom. I have no gloom and doom. 2-2-1.
Okay, we were asked this on Facebook prior to the show, and I told the young man, watch the show, and we will answer that question. So in the spirit of wanting to be interactive and answer the questions of the people.
Community.
It's all about the Packers community. Do we think the Packers are going to turn it around?
Yes.
See? There you go. Question answered. All right, now back to the fucking script. this is fun. Josh Jones making little waves, little headlines, little something. Josh Jones not happy. Not Jonesing for the bench. Wants to be on the field. We got a little clip. This is from the Gannett production of Clubhouse Live every Monday night.
I don't understand. Why do more Packer fans not watch that show?
I don't know. We'll find out. Maybe this transfixing video will change their minds. So roll it, Gaff. When you get
a little bit, you're finally easing into it. I guess assess. You want more, don't you? Just tell the world you want more.
I mean, that's what I'm here for. I mean, you ain't gonna take a player in the second round to not contribute to the team. I mean, am I right or am I wrong? You know, so I mean, if that's the case, you know what I'm saying? You just, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? I don't like, you know what I'm saying? Some guys play this, everybody play this game for different reasons. You know, some guys play this game because what comes with it, what they can get out of it. Some guys just, they enjoy just getting the check every 2 weeks. You know, they're okay with just being mediocre and not improving and just being one of the guys on the team. And, you know, me, I want to work for what I get. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to just get a check and feel like I didn't do nothing for it. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you know that you can be out there. You know what I'm saying? You know you can contribute to the team. You know, that's what hurts the most. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's tough, man.
So, you know, I don't think you can, you know, you don't have to read between any lines there.
I'm surprised he didn't get fined for that.
Well, the Packers aren't going to find him. The NFL, he didn't say anything.
You don't think Coach would find him for that?
Doubt it. You know, Mike's pretty good about that.
I would.
Stuff.
If I was the
you
coach,
would.
I would.
Yeah, you would. You're a tyrant. You got to ask all these people out there. They know.
And cut Crosby.
And you cut Crosby. And like,
Crosby.
Well, I wouldn't cut Crosby until you have someone.
Like Aguayo.
Yeah, like, he's terrible. That'd be a great idea. But so Josh Jones, what do we think? Like, I mean, this kid, he's got a point. You expect a little return on your second round investment from a year ago, but he played 4 snaps, I think, from scrimmage on Sunday.
I mean, I can't argue with him, right? Like, I that's one of the main things that I see constantly in comics week after week is where is Josh Jones? Because he had a promising year last year. He looked great. You know,
He looked good early.
He looked like he had a lot of potential.
He looked lost later in the season.
And then,
yes, you saw the potential.
And then it's kind of just dropped off. So I think the question is not, you know, kind of should he play or shouldn't he play, is why isn't he given more opportunities?
Especially in a week where you saw Jermaine Whitehead inactive due to injury.
Yeah.
You would have thought Josh Jones steps in.
It's my moment.
But, yo, but it didn't help that he, literally the first, what was the kick of the game that they are fielding and he has a penalty.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Which is all he did last year was, you know, have stupid penalties. On a great kick return that would have put them in great field position.
Yeah.
And then they're being brought back because Josh Jones can't
get
his hands inside. So I don't know. Josh Jones, not happy.
I have nothing to say about Josh Jones because literally, what is there to say?
I'm
whining because I'm not playing enough and I'm not playing enough because I keep messing up. I'm sorry, Josh Jones.
Fair.
Maybe don't mess up.
This is the kind of insight analysis.
Suck on that, ESPN. Suck on that.
Well, we're competing with the NFL now because now we have 3 old white guys. Well, you're young.
Young
here. And NFL Network has 4, so we gotta step up our
game. We're coming for you.
We're on our way. All right, so let's get to the offense. Let's get to the – I think I would categorize this as the source. You were talking about doom and gloom around the fandom.
Yeah.
This is the source right here. This is it. The offense – has carried this team year after year after year. And when they do kind of bog down, look herky-jerky, call it whatever you want, people freak out.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any doubt here that there are a lot of elements in play. A number one, I think before anything else, and I think he would say this, and he actually did say this after the game, Aaron Rodgers needs to play better. Point blank. Point blank. He can't come out and play like he has these last 2 weeks, but especially in Detroit, and expect this team to be competitive.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, since he's been a starter, has made this team look a lot better than they actually are. And I'm saying that as a diehard Packers fan.
They've
never really had the defense to back them up. You obviously had the Super Bowl year where the turnovers were huge. 2014, they were a bit better on defense, but they've been in the back half of the league on defense for years. And so, like,
number 4 in the league currently.
Yeah, they are.
In yardage.
Yes, in yardage. But like, even like, look at the 15-1 season, that's all Aaron Rodgers,
100%.
Just all the time.
Aaron Rodgers did that with Marshall Newhouse at left tackle, by the
way.
Yeah. I think people forget that.
Yeah.
Like Marshall Newhouse started 9 games at left tackle that year.
Yeah.
But he didn't have a gimpy knee.
No, but he was still like, under siege.
Yeah.
Basically,
no, I
every play knows he can't like wait 2 seconds before there's going to be somebody in his lap. And he was still throwing for Star Wars numbers.
Correct.
It's crazy.
So that being said, I mean, yeah, at some point, you have to put a team around him because we're blaming Rodgers right now, and he does need to play better 150%. But at the same time, they should also be able to get it done without Aaron Rodgers being kind of putting it on his shoulders and being like, here we go, let's trudge forward.
I totally agree with that sentiment. However, when you have a team that is completely built around one guy, that guy has to be the guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, that, literally the whole philosophy of this organization is we are Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they proved that by giving him the monster contract.
Yeah.
You know, the offense is designed around him. The defense is there for this offense to produce a lead and then get after the opposing quarterback, as we saw against Buffalo. That is the whole way this team is constructed. And the idea of, like, he's got to put a team around him. I mean, they went out and got Jimmy Graham. They got Devontae Adams, who's one of the better wide receivers in the league.
Yeah.
They've got a really talented backfield. It's not like the bereft of talent.
Yeah.
But that, like, leads to another point, because, like, talking about, like, Aaron Jones, right, and the fact that he's, like, averaging, what, like, 6 yards a carry?
6.3.
Yeah. So he's doing it, and he got, like, barely any touches. I can understand why he didn't get touches, though, because we were down 20-plus points very, very
early.
We'll
get there. It's in the script.
Yeah.
Wait.
Okay. It's in there. We'll get there right now. But, yes, so they have a running running game.
Right.
But, again, if it's all about Aaron Rodgers and he's not producing, then we're, like, we're screwed. Like, when he goes down last year— Every single Packer fans, I know, just you throw your hands up and you're like, that's it.
I didn't throw my hands
up. I didn't believe in Brett Hundley that. I wanted to believe, but.
I believed, and you know what? I wish Jordy Nelson would have believed and actually caught some balls.
Shots fired.
You know, I believed. I wish, like, I wish half the people on our team would have believed. I mean, the kid wasn't terrible. He was terrible, but there were a lot of.
But you talk about
the team gave up. Exactly.
A lot of people shut it down.
Here is the paradox of Aaron Rodgers. Everyone wants to blame Mike McCarthy for play calling.
Yes.
Mike McCarthy doesn't actually call the plays. Aaron Rodgers calls the plays. I think
50-50.
Who knows, though?
Right.
The only two people, well, three people probably, are Joe Philbin, Mike McCarthy,
and Aaron Rodgers.
On game day. Right. Mike McCarthy could have said, I'm going to run Aaron Jones all the time. And Aaron Rodgers could literally decide that the game plan, as he sees on the field in front of him, is like, no, I'm not going to do that, right? Yeah. So we don't really know.
Well, most of the time he has options. Not always. But again, that comes back to what I was saying before. It's built around Aaron.
Now, but my
He's
thing
He's given
about
more freedom than almost any other quarterback.
Where is Jimmy Graham?
Yeah.
Where is Mercedes Lewis?
Yeah.
But
where are these
people?
Why are we not hot reading to Devontae? We don't even try. This offense used to be a machine,
juggernaut.
A Ferrari, right? It was like, and where's the dinking and dunking? How many times in this show, in week five, we're talking about dinking and dunking?
Right.
Like, hey, I know it's not Madden, okay? I know it's not Madden, and I suck at Madden. By the way, we're going to do
this is true.
Tom, we didn't tell you this yet, but we're gonna do a Madden
show
Friday night.
Yes.
So check it out.
Nagler's actually going to play on this screen. Can you imagine playing Madden on this screen? So we might have to have you to
phenomenal
to come play with us.
Yes.
One week.
Once we got it up and running.
You know, I know it's not Madden, but it's like, is it really that hard to be like, on this play, I'm going to Devontae. On this play, I'm going to try to go to Jimmy Graham. And I don't see that. I did not see that last week.
Well, all right. So Jimmy Graham got 6 or 8 targets, something like that. On
Sunday. 70-some yards.
Yeah, it's something like that. But there's also a fundamental issue with Aaron Rodgers of holding onto the ball too long.
Oh, yeah,
you know, because we make the argument of, like, you know, receivers not getting open, but you can see that there's receivers open on some plays. But he also holds onto that ball for dear life, which could be the greatest thing in the world because, like, he makes phenomenal plays off, like, his back foot jumping and doing a backflip, or he takes a sack, or he fumbles the ball, or, you know, it's a crap play. And so that being said, do you think that this team is a little, do you think McCarthy is, like, a little scared to be like, hey, bud, so we just paid you a kajillion dollars. Maybe, you know, don't take the whole game into your entire hands. But then again, people will argue you paid him a million kajillion dollars. He needs to take the game in his hands.
Well, and it goes back to, I think Nagler's talking about this last week is, and a lot of people are blogging about it right now, has McCarthy lost this team, right? And I think week five is way too early to say that.
Sure.
Has this team been Andy Reid-ed?
Right.
Right?
Well, that's a big, big question that will
it's a question
be found out over the course of the season. I don't think there's anything you can say in week five.
I mean, I've been saying, because last year, I mean, for a few years, but last year I think was his big like there was a lot of heat on McCarthy because he overhyped the ever-living crap out of Brett Hundley. That, like, you know, he sat behind, he was like, oh, he's going to get in there. And of course, as a coach, you have to say that. You're not going to be like, oh, we're screwed. That's
it. What's funny is, like, you look at his, what he said that week leading up to his first start.
Yeah.
And then you look at the game plan.
Yeah.
Like, don't, like, what's the age-old thing? Don't listen to what he says. Watch what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, he talked him up. You're right.
Correct.
But then he came out and, like, buttoned it up and ran 3 yards in a cloud of dust in a way that hasn't happened since, like, 2008 in Green Bay. So that told you all you needed to know about how Mike McCarthy really felt about Brett Hundley. He knew he wasn't ready.
Correct.
All that said. But this, I get you on the Rodgers thing. I will say some of the Mike stuff I do kind of get. Now, there are plenty of instances where you can see on tape where guys are schemed open. You do see missed opportunities. But at the same time, you also see a lot of this. I want to roll this piece of video. Gaff, you can go roll levels here. This is a concept where they're trying to get these two tight ends, but they're both in the same spot. And Rodgers, look at him.
Nobody knows who's choice.
Rodgers has, like, we're pretty sure Rodgers is throwing this to Kendricks. But, you know, Graham's like, oh, maybe it's just tall. And, like, but this happened. This is an extreme example, but it happened a bunch of times throughout the game. And that, I get that some of that is you've got a bunch of young wide receivers due to injury because Geronimo Allison was down, Randall Cobb was down, so you had to play MVS, you had to play
MVS had a good game.
He did. They both did. I thought he
knew
played
he was
well
going
too.
To, and he did.
But then you've got so you can kind of understand it in that sense. But then you've also got plays where we've got Davante Adams literally blowing up Ty Montgomery on a crosser.
Mm. Yeah. Like,
that's where the lack of practice thing just starts to bug me because it's week five.
Well, is it due to a lack of practice then for Rodgers? Like, if we're putting it all on Rodgers, let's just say hypothetically.
But that's my point. Rodgers is not out there running routes. Like those guys got to run those routes regardless of who's the quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, the overthrows or the miss, you know, that they're getting space. Because he's been injured, like, what, last week was the first week he got taken off the actual injury report?
Yeah, and, like, at the end of the week. But he still missed Wednesday. He didn't practice.
So that's what I mean. Is it a factor that he just hasn't been able to gel with these rookies? You know, because we're talking about so many young people on the field.
But that
field.
Has nothing to do with, like, Davante Adams and Ty Montgomery.
Sure.
You know
what I mean? That's 100%. So
that's where I look at Mike and I think, it's week five and we all make the joke now that, you know, oh, they don't play in the preseason. The preseason is really September for the offense.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers even said almost that at his locker this summer where he said, we're going to take some, you know, lumps early in the year. We're going to find our identity as we go. That's great. You're a month and a week into the season now, and you've got guys running into each other.
Well, and also, like, Devontae, our jerseys are white. Their jerseys are blue.
Oh, yeah, that was a rough one.
He's literally looking at a white jersey. Like, bro, don't block that guy.
Don't blow him up. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. But, like, I get, like, maybe Ty Scallow or something. Yeah. But it's just, that's disconcerting in week five. Yeah. And that's where I'm thinking. That's where the Andy Reid comparable jumps to my mind because that's what happened in Philadelphia. Guys just started tuning the coach out. He had been there for so long, and you saw sloppy play, penalties, and kind of the same lackadaisical, because I think effort is there, but just a lethargic offensive performance.
Well, Devontae at the same time, like he dropped some passes too, but like he was bobbling a lot, even on the ones he caught. Like
there was one specific deep cross.
And he was just
Rodgers threw it amazing, and he's like bobbling it. I'm like, secure the
catch. Just catch the ball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I want to get your take on this. So we bring in Mike Pettine, right? Do you think that this defense, I know it's only week five, do you think they're playing better than they have been in previous years?
100%.
I would say yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Overall, as a group, cohesively.
The ranking on the yardage shows that, and that's a real thing.
Yeah. Okay. And so that being said, do you think it's because of him? Do you think it's because of Pettine?
I think it's a combination of Pettine and the staff that he's assembled.
Okay.
And I think they did a good job of keeping the voices that, I don't want to say mattered, but the voices that were needed.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about Joe Witt.
Yeah, Joe Witt. Oh my God. Watch him.
He's
on
a future head coach.
He's amazing.
He's a future head
coach.
He
is amazing.
And so,
he never stops.
And then maybe in that case, the same thing needs to happen with the offense. I mean, because again, when was the last time that we had like a super high powered offense in which you were that machine, you were that drought?
Edgar Bennett was a coach.
But here's the thing. The last time they had an offense that just couldn't be stopped, that went up and down the field,
Yeah.
was 2 years ago when they ran the table.
Yeah.
But the reason they did that is because Aaron Rodgers played out of his freaking mind.
It was insane.
I've never seen quarterbacking at that level in my life. And then people know it's Brett Favre's birthday. I love Brett Favre. He's probably my favorite Packer of all time after Bart Starr.
Brett Favre never played that.
I love Brett Favre, but holy cow, he never did what Rodgers did in that stretch.
He literally just said, like, okay, we're going to do this now. And he did it all.
But a big part of that, getting back to dinking and dunking, was dinking and dunking.
Yes.
It started that Monday night in Philadelphia. They were coming off that game. I think it was – no, the Texans was the next week. But they were coming off this horrible stretch. They were 4-6. And then they got to the quick passing game. They got Aaron –
that was in Philadelphia, I think. Yeah.
They got in rhythm. It got him in rhythm quickly. And that's what I keep saying in the chats. I said it here on Transplants last week. Mike – and I went on this rant in 2014. Mike has to help him. What you're talking about. Like, help your quarterback. You see he's not coming out of the gate firing. Mm-hmm. That just hasn't happened pretty much all year.
Yeah.
Help him get into the rhythm. Get him some quick throws.
So that's what I say. Like, what if he is helping him and then he audibles out? And for instance, like, dude, you're on a gimpy knee. Do you really need to like RPO into a run to get 3 yards? Like, yeah, that might be the right look, but be a realist for a hot second. I do want to say happy birthday to the third best quarterback in the Green Bay Packers. Brett Favre, without saying, he is the third greatest quarterback of all time for the Green Bay Packers.
That's a Hallmark card right there. Yeah. That's something beautiful.
It's good. It's great being number three, buddy.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing. McCarthy also takes so much flack for the run pass, right? Like, that's typical, like, that's all he does. He run, and that's it. But now I would argue you have a guy who could do the run part.
If
and
you
it's
just
not
used him.
You just have to utilize him.
Well, hey, we're at that part of the script.
He did
well
that
done.
On purpose.
Yeah, that's well done.
He's trying to get
He's actually
job.
Reading the script.
He's like, no, this guy sucks at that, so I'm going to try to do this right.
But this Aaron Jones stuff is just hilarious to me. I mean, so Mike's asked about it. I mean, and can I just give a shout out real quick? God bless Jason Wilde and Ryan Wood, because they didn't shy away from it. They know this is what everyone is wondering. Everyone wants this question answered. So they asked Mike, point blank, on Monday, what's up? Why isn't this kid getting carries? And Jason's first initial question was met with, well, if you have to ask, I don't know if I can explain it to you, which is, come on, what a douche. But then Ryan Wood followed it up, and Mike straight up looked at him and, like, was pissed and said, I don't appreciate your question. Like, well, that's great. You still got to answer it.
I can't believe you've done this.
Did. Like, it's
of course he's not going
to
answer that.
But it drives me nuts. He says this whole thing about, well, there's more to the position than carrying the football. Yeah, and there's more to, like, football than shooting yourselves in the foot repeatedly because you, like, are not featuring your talent.
Sunday, I can understand why you don't utilize Aaron Jones. Because, again,
don't.
Because...
I don't.
But that's the thing. Even in the third quarter, like, when they were running a little bit, and even if it was successful, I was like, all right, guys, like, we need to score. And again, if you
know how you score? By getting your most talented players on the field.
Well, they did get him that one. They got I was excited when they passed to Aaron Jones and he had a nice
God, they utilized him in the passing game? Oh, be still my heart.
It does seem a little bit like obvious.
This is what I mean. They make it sound like there is no way he can solve the problem of pass protection. But you look and he's fine in pass protection. Yeah. Is he as good as Jamal Williams in pass protection?
No, but he's not that far.
But he's not that far removed. Yeah. It's not like you're putting out like the Sisters of the Poor out there and asking them to block for Rodgers. I'm so sick of this nonsense. I'm like,
I bet the Sisters of the Poor would do a good job of blocking.
They would like ring their bells and people were like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to bother you.
I mean,
today's NFL, I mean, that's kind of where they're going with the quarterback.
That's really where they're going.
Please. Yeah. Can we form an orderly line?
They put like money in the bucket.
I think the problem with fans and Aaron Jones is that it just seems so obvious.
Yeah.
So obvious.
And it's almost like I feel like, as a fan, McCarthy is just trying to insult my own intelligence.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It's like, that's why it's so maddening.
Like everyone can look and be like 6.3, 3.4, 6.2.
And then today, I love this. Pro Football Focus does the ratings for the pass protection, and Aaron Jones is at the top.
Wow.
I mean, it's so frustrating. And it's like,
I
get
PFF
is not the be all end all, but it tells you that he's actually competent.
We're in the top. We're in the top 10 on pass protection overall. I think for running, I saw this PFF thing on Twitter today. That was my only research I did for this show.
And
last
I'm
week
done.
You printed out stats. Well, this week you're slacking because we have a guest.
We had Tom, and I was like, he'll take over.
It's fine. Listen, I will carry the weight.
But it's so frustrating. Just feature your talent. That's what drives me insane.
See, because here's the thing. I think I've backed myself into a corner here because, like, the 49ers game on Monday.
Right.
Like, we should kill them. Like, it.
I've been saying it should be a get-right game.
We should.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Like, I'm not going to feel good if we kill them. You know
right,
what I mean?
Because like, they're the 49ers, like, and we should kill them.
Like, we're going on
that's
to a bye.
And that's the problem. That's where the Packers.
Yeah.
Franchise is right now.
Yeah, and that's a problem. The fact that, like, if we even if we blow them out like 56 to nothing,
right?
I'm gonna be like, oh, they don't have Jimmy G. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is what they should do. You should be doing that. You should be beating the Lions. You should be beating the Redskins. Like, you should be doing. Like, look at the Redskins getting their asses handed to them on Monday.
But you also have to look at the NFL right now. This is the first.
It's a week
time.
Absolutely.
No, but this is the first time in how many years that there hasn't been an undefeated team.
Oh yeah. They everyone's got one L now.
Yeah. So week five and everybody's got a loss. That's
it. Tells you
there's some parity in the league.
Yeah, the parity is
the Rams lost.
Haven't they? Or no, they didn't.
No, the Rams
didn't
lose, and then the Chiefs didn't
lose. Only undefeated team.
No, I think it's the Rams and Chiefs.
No, two undefeated teams.
Yeah,
Corey, what are you doing? You need to do research.
I saw it on Twitter.
I'm sorry, guys, I'll leave now. You're like, how dare you correct me on my own damn show?
No.
That's the point of the show.
Yeah, so, but that's the thing, though. But you look at the Rams, for example, who's supposed to have this amazing defense, and they looked like crap on Thursday against the Vikings.
Their offense can make up for everything.
Correct. It looks a little bit like the Packers. They don't have Todd Gurley
because they execute.
Crazy.
They execute.
And then you look at the Chiefs, which is the same thing, in which, like, they put on a good defensive performance this past week, but, like, they have that offense which can score. Like, that should be the Packers. And the fact that it's not that, because for years and years and years and years, we've been saying, this is our year for the Super Bowl. This is our year for the Super Bowl. Like, what possibly could we add? We draft every cornerback there possibly is. We draft any wide receiver there possibly is.
I can tell you immediately, everyone will say a pass rusher.
Sure, 100%. But then we're going to draft a pass rusher next year in the first round. And when we're here again, week five, and it's the similar story, people, I think, are just looking. This is why I think everyone's focusing on Aaron Jones, because they're just grasping at something to try to understand why isn't this team doing well?
Clicking. Well, here,
why isn't it going?
I just want to. I'm going to put a quick plug.
You know, we have to draft next year, right?
What's that?
A quarterback.
Okay. That's a whole other conversation.
If you look at the history
of
the Green Bay
Packers,
you are
really trying to derail the script now.
If you look at the history of
the Green Bay
Packers,
refuse to rise to the bait.
And how
sir,
old Aaron Rodgers is.
You are out of order.
And how old
you are
Brett
out
Favre
of
was.
Order.
Quarterback. If we don't draft a quarterback in the first round, somebody's not doing their job.
All right. So here's we're gonna ignore that comment. So here's my quick plug for Monday night for the game for our watch party this week. Because speaking of Aaron Jones and getting on the field, and like Ryan Grant was asked on Twitter, what did it take for you to get in front of DeShone Wynn? And he said, Wynn got hurt and Mike had to use me. And that is it. That's the only way Aaron Jones is gonna get the majority of carries is if injury takes care of it. Mm-hmm. That's always the way it's been. And I only mention this about Ryan because Ryan is going to be here in this studio watching the game with me on Monday Night Football. So be here for our watch party.
It's going to be amazing.
I'm
going to watch it from Lambeau.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to be in my basement.
Okay, and real quickly, we'll wrap up the offense with, we talked about a little bit before about Jimmy Graham. And I just, there was this kind of
he's a waste strain. Of money.
The strain kind of went through the internet on Monday and Tuesday of the Packers made a mistake.
Oh, dear.
Signing Jimmy Graham.
I didn't like the signing when it first came out.
Yeah.
I was not a fan of it.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan of it at
all. Are you already week five all in on the it was a mistake to sign Jimmy Graham?
I thought it was a mistake from the beginning, but the fact that we signed him, you might as well use him. Like that, that's my logic to him. Like it could have been the worst signing in the world, but if you have this kind of guy, did you guys know he played basketball? if you have him on the field, then freaking utilize him. The entire talk this entire offseason was what a red zone threat he's going to be, or the fact
you.
That he could spread the field and he can get double covered in the whole 9 yards. And I was like, okay. Like,
and some of the double covered stuff
it.
Has happened. That
sure.
happened. That happened
Absolutely.
In the Bears game. That happened in the Vikings game. So it has happened.
Yes.
But the production has not.
No,
but
it has not.
I think that's on McCarthy and Rodgers. I really do.
Well,
you have to feature him.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
The red zone thing is like, it kills me because everyone was talking about that. And I got carried away with it because like you saw it in practice.
Yep.
Because they're working on installs. So they're like, someday we might actually want to do this. So they practice it, but then they never utilize it in a game.
Now,
it drives me insane.
Now, do you think it's like PTSD from having JerMichael Finley and like trying to like build a team around him. And Mike's like, I can't ever do that with a tight end again.
I know, but okay, fine. But then look at Jared Cook. When Jared Cook came and they ran the table with Jared Cook, I mean, he was pretty damn effective.
Cook was good. I was happy with Cook.
I don't know why they got rid of Cook. I'm not good. Yeah, well, that's a Ted Thompson mistake.
You're talking about the 2015 to 2017 period in the Green Bay Packers where Ted Thompson decided that he wasn't the general manager.
He checked out.
He basically checked out and went to somewhere.
Yeah.
And Russ Ball said, we don't need all this. And the team got in real trouble. But my point with the Jimmy Graham thing is, like, it's week five. Like, yes. I get it. His early returns are a little disappointing.
I have a theory.
Oh.
They don't want to put Graham on tape in week five. I know you like that.
Holy cow. This reminds
Next week on the X-Files.
This reminds me of the first transplants we ever did. Literally, the very first one we ever did.
It was a podcast.
Yes. It was before there was no video. It was like 20 minutes long.
We did it like 8 times.
And you said somewhere in the middle.
I got to redo. It was fun because I got to redo.
You said,
I just said something stupid, which I pretty much can guarantee I'm
going to
do that one.
You got this passionate, like, diatribe about the defense, and you, like, were blaming it all on this one corner who had left, like, the year before.
He's still there.
One of my all-time favorite moments.
But it never made
the first
show.
Night. No. That was never recorded.
That's when we could edit.
We could re-edit. Yeah,
it's like when you say, like, Dom Capers' ghost is still hanging around, like, the defensive locker room, and you're just like, oh, there's that secondary again.
Yeah, sometimes. Well, okay. Speaking of Dom Capers and now Mike Pettine,
the
defense.
Transitioned us into
transition
the defense.
Go to the defense here. You mentioned it earlier when we were talking about the Detroit game. I thought they responded well when put in some really bad spots. Especially Rodgers' first fumble, holding them to a field goal. I think that was monster.
Yeah.
And that is the type of thing, talking about the ghost of Dom Capers, that hadn't happened the last few years.
No, 100% not. And because that's the thing. We've said that for a while, like, we're the bend, don't break defense. We were breaking all the time.
All the time.
All the time we were breaking everywhere. Like, you went up against a good wide receiver. Like, for example, Galladay, right? Had a pretty good game, like 98 yards, a touchdown. You have that with, like, last year's. Yeah, oh, God, into oblivion.
Again, second year in a row.
Yep. So you have that, like, last year, the year before that, Galladay puts up even bigger numbers than that. Because you look at, like, a Julio Jones or, like, what, Marvin Jones. Mm-hmm. Like, they have these big receivers that always burn us for, like, two. Stephon Diggs last year.
Yep.
Destroying us. You didn't see a whole lot of that on Sunday. If we can hold one of their best wide receivers to 98 yards
and
a touchdown.
And on that play where he scores a touchdown, which is, like, you're talking about 98 yards.
Yeah.
60, 70 of that came out of one play.
Yeah.
And Josh Jackson's in good position there.
Yes.
He just mistimes the jump.
Yeah. Correct.
You know what I mean? So it's like they're there.
I think for what they were able to accomplish and hold them to the put in, like, the worst spots imaginable,
right.
I think they did a good job.
Oh, yeah. The defense.
They held them to 7 points in the second half.
Defense has been night and day to what it's been the last 6 years.
Now, the thing that I'm constantly getting is that they're not putting together a complete game. And that, like, first half, second half.
What do you call the Bills
is
game?
Is completely, yeah. So
you don't call a shutout a complete game?
Is a complete. Like, so for example, like, you had the first half, and we've seen this in the Bears game, we had this in, obviously, the Lions game, you had this in the Redskins game, in which we're letting up 20-plus points in the first half.
And then we make adjustments.
Yeah, and then we're just like, hey, guys, we get that super special stuff from Space Jam.
Yeah, exactly.
We scored it, and then, you know, they turn around. So is it really just they scheme better in the second half, or is it the fact that Sunday, I think, is... You can't really look at that. That's an outlier because we just put them in terrible positions. But so then how do you talk about the Bears game, the Redskins game?
Well, I think the Bears game in particular is an outlier simply because it's the first game of the year.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's really clear Nagy. Like,
it's the last preseason game.
He emptied up for the Packers. Yeah. He emptied the kitchen sink on that opening drive.
Yeah.
And then, like, proceeded to, like, kind of use every motion and thing he had. And then in the second half, Patton was like, okay, now I've seen it all. And he adjusted.
And now we're good.
And I think... They're talking about the complete game thing, yes, the Buffalo game absolutely counts as a complete game.
Fun.
But it's also against Josh Allen, who, like, was starting the second time.
Oh, here we go.
Life,
here we go.
You know, whatever. But Josh came back and had a good game against the Titans in Buffalo.
Shutting out any NFL team.
I said as much on the postgame chat.
There's no but to it.
I agree.
I was actually at that last shutout game, 9-0 against the Jets.
So were we.
Yeah.
We were in the front row.
Over there.
Chilling.
Right across the river.
Chilling like villains. But then when's the last
Corey almost got us beat up that game. It was a good time.
What?
Oh, don't. don't.
Come on, Nagler.
You know how, like, in the... Okay, wait, Tom. So, you know how in at MetLife, when the Jets are playing, they do the stupid JTS Jets.
And the Miami fireman guy? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
He's back now. Yeah. But, so they do that chant, right? It echoes around the stadium. And it's whatever. Fine. I'm sitting there in my Packers finery, and I'm thinking, fine, whatever. But this one... J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. It's just, the echo is just dying out. Just dying out. And then this one, not just says it, stands up and screams, suck! So we're like surrounded by Jersey's finest. Like ready to like just kill us all.
Which
like,
there's no such thing of Jersey's finest because it's not Jersey. Right. But it's fine.
That was in this one dude came and like came down, was like ready to kick our ass, and like it was bad.
You know what the key to that is, though? You know what the key to that is? This is where I'm like the stadium pro,
right? Mm.
You got to be in the front row,
right?
Because you're right at the camp. They're not gonna, there's a security guard,
they're not gonna do anything.
They might wait for you in hiding. And
well, that was walking to the car. I felt like we were gonna die.
We're gonna die
for sure. We were
now. Here's an important note that we're not touching on that game. Mason Crosby won us that game,
yep,
9-0,
3 field goals.
That's it.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. He's paid a lot more money now.
That was a Super Bowl
to miss
ago.
A lot.
This is what, 11th
that was a
year?
Super Bowl ago.
His 11th year?
Something like that.
I think it's something like that.
Oh, I do know he's making over $10 million.
That's silver hair,
to
Fox.
Miss 4 field goals.
Oof. It just hurts my feelings.
But getting back to the defense.
There's a reason why we don't have special teams on
this exactly. Script. And hey. A lot of doom and gloom, frustrations. I get all that, but can we just praise for a moment the best player on the Packers defense that nobody is talking about? There hasn't been anything written about him.
It's true.
I haven't seen anything online. I tweeted about it this afternoon because I was like, this kid is getting no love.
Kentrell Bryce, I know.
I was going to say Blake Martinez.
Kenny Clark. This guy is a freaking beast. Go back and watch the tape. He whoops Ragno every which way but Sunday. Like that guy... Kenny Clark, that is Ted Thompson's parting gift, I'm fine.
And he's like one of the youngest guys on the team.
He was 20 years old when he got drafted or something like that.
I've done a lot with my life.
Precisely. But I just wanted to give Kenny a shout out because no one ever
he's
talks
playing
about
great.
The defensive tackle, you know, especially after a game where you lost and
You're
blah,
usually
blah,
talking
blah.
About him because he got blown up.
But it's, or something. But he played so well.
He did.
I just wanted to give him a shout out.
He somebody appreciates
who,
that.
Somebody who a lot of guys, a lot of people are talking about today is Clinton Dix.
Mm.
Now, you can debate whether what the spirit of his saying to Jason Wilde, I feel like I won't be back next year. Some of that probably is twisted and taken out of context a little bit, but it sure seems like it's on his mind. The idea that, they gave him the fifth-year option. He's playing it out. But it seems pretty obvious that his representatives have not been approached.
Yeah.
We all remember the MD Jennings era. Are we really, how are you guys feeling about, Clinton Dix plays out the season and they let him walk? It's a tough one. Because
that's
right?
The thing. That position, we're so weak at it right now, even with Clinton Dix playing.
Yep.
Is that if you let him walk, not only, like we were talking about pass rusher and how we've needed one for the past 25 years. And we need him. So if we're looking at a pass rusher at the draft, then we're also hoping to hit and replace Clinton Dix.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a...
It adds up.
That's rough.
Yep.
Do I think he's been a little disappointing? Sure. Will I still never forgive him for the 2014 NFC Championship game? Sure. But that being said, he's playing well this year.
People would disagree with you on that one. I think he's been up and down, but
he's
solid.
Never lived up to the potential.
He never
that
did.
He hasn't yet.
I agree.
I'm still waiting for how excited I got on draft day when we drafted him.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm waiting for that to equal how excited I am to see him play.
I read it something like the other day that his stats are actually not, he's like leading the league.
He's tied for the league lead in interceptions.
There you go.
Three.
Which is great.
Two of them bounced right to him, but you got to be in that position that play.
And
that's
the
fine.
One play where he knocks a dude out.
That
amazing.
Was an insane
play.
Yeah.
Amazing
Look, the whole like, the ball was thrown right to him or the ball bounced off a receiver's hands
you
right
gotta
to him.
You got to be in
position. You got to be in position. And we've seen countless times throughout the history of the Green Bay Packers at the safety position where guys have had things bounce right to them and they don't make the play.
That is correct.
So I'm fine. I personally would think they would try to approach him later in the year if he continues to play solidly, which is what I think he's doing right now.
Yeah.
Yes, he has issues. Everybody, you know, can pinpoint things in his game, whether it's the lack of physicality.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes he'll miss fills in the run game, etc. I get all that. But for the most part, he's pretty solid. And you look at the safety kind of market this offseason.
Yeah.
I mean, Eric Reed signed late for obvious reasons.
Should have signed Eric Reed.
I agree.
But
like, you know, the safety position took a real nosedive as far as contracts go. Yeah. So they can probably get him for a reasonable rate.
But that was the thing too, like with Morgan Burnett. Like, I did not want him to go while he's like, you know, he's...
Yeah, but you kind of figured, I mean, third contracts, they just don't give those out.
No,
yeah. If they don't sign TJ Lang to a third contract, they're not going to sign him.
No, I agree, but again, it was the issue of he's a veteran presence. You know, he was obviously injured, but then that was an issue. And I feel like he was declining in his play. He's not really doing great in Pittsburgh. But all that being said, he's like, he was at least a solid player who was there and he could do his job.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is in very short supply right now.
But that's like a Micah Hyde. That's like a Casey Hayward.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going to, I mean, to both of your point, if you're going to draft and develop, HaHa should stay.
Yeah, because he's one of your core guys, or at least he should be thought of as such until something better comes along that you've developed.
Is he my favorite safety of all time? No, that's Leroy Butler, and he's he should go in the Hall of Fame, and he's amazing, and I wish he could still play.
We need to do like a Leroy Butler stumping for Leroy Butler the Hall of Fame.
I'm ready.
Video.
I'm ready.
Slash show. We need.
I got my picket signs ready already.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'll protest in front of the NFL.
All right, let's talk about this 49ers game on Monday night, because like Tom, like you said. You know, it's the kind of game, I said it in the chat, it should be a get-right game.
Yes.
This is the kind of game where the Packers should look better. They're at home. They've got an extra day of rest.
Mm-hmm. No Jimmy G.
No Jimmy G for the 49ers. But I will say, you know, I want to see the Packers come out and execute from the opening kickoff. I want a opening drive.
That just
bing, bang, boom, or in the end zone.
Touchdown.
Last year, the last two years, they were clinical on opening drives, and now all of a sudden that's just disappeared.
Correct.
So that's the first number one thing I'm looking for.
I want to see touchdown, 2-point conversion, onside kick,
in that order, and we actually return the onside kick for
another touchdown.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm down with that.
And then I want to double up.
Oh wait, how are you going to do that if you're getting receiving?
No. At the halftime, then I want to double up.
Okay. Yep.
All right.
The other thing they got to do is they got to capitalize on turnover opportunities because the 49ers are going to give them to them.
Yes.
This kid, Beathard, their quarterback, he'll throw it to you.
Yes.
He'll throw it to you a bunch.
He's the sacrificial lamb.
I mean, they've moved the football. Their offense.
Sure. And Kittle's good.
That kid, let me tell you.
Oh. Sorry.
George Kittle.
<That's> all right.
It's true because that was my next point because Kittle is the one guy I look at on that offense who scares the holy hell out of me.
He might have a big game.
Because I don't know. Because someone said... I mentioned it to Sam Monson of PFF because he had put up a video of Kittle just destroying someone in the run game. And somebody asked me, he's like, who's going to guard him? I was like,
"Oh yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I mean, the one thing that we have to go for that is he doesn't really have anyone to throw to him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not as scared as I would have been with Jimmy G.
What's wrong with Blake Martinez? Blake Martinez in coverage this year has been okay.
He's okay. He's okay.
Better than any other linebacker in coverage.
I don't know. I would like to see Oren Burks give it a go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But Kittle scares me. He's the one guy who legitimately scares me on that offense. So we'll see. We'll see.
But if that's the case, then hopefully if there's literally one guy.
We bracket him and just forget it.
I mean, because I was actually talking about this with the 49ers fan this past week. Mm-hmm. And like, who do they have on their team to throw the ball to? It's right. Pierre Garçon. I mean.
80-year-old.
Yeah, like 115.
On 100-year-old Tremont Williams.
Correct.
The matchup of the decade.
You know,
so
I really don't
it's
appreciate
it. It's the battle for the nursing home.
Okay. Everybody,
only
everybody,
on pay-per-view.
Everybody want to hate on Tremont.
I'm not
and
hating on
Tremont.
You know
what's going to happen.
He's going to get the applesauce.
He's older.
He's old. He's
older player.
He's going to have some turnovers.
I agree.
You least expect it.
I always expect it with Tremont because he's
and you know what?
Smartest
I hope
guy
I'm
on the
watching
field.
Watch Party with you when
I
that happens because
so.
I am going to take Packer Man and I'm going to put it in places you've never even experienced, Nagler.
Oh, Tom, I feel assaulted.
Things are happening.
This is an NPR,
sure.
Okay?
This is
I think it's time.
It's
we
time.
Need to channel some
Gaff,
of that. Some
Gaff,
of that.
It's time. Just
Gaff,
play it.
It's time. Play it, buddy. It's time.
in the Packer blogosphere.
I don't know why that is.
That's smartly. That is wise. That is a wise decision on Gaff's part not to show us dancing. Mm-hmm. All right. So I just, you know, obviously every week we talk about things going on in the Packers blogosphere, and we have an actual member of the Packers blogosphere here other than ourselves. So I just wanted to start this segment by saying, make sure you check out Tom's YouTube stuff because
it's
phenomenal. It's fantastic. I wanted to ask real quick if anyone's watching and going, Who is this guy?
Yeah, I get that a lot.
How did you start? How did this come about? Because we found you because we searched Green Bay Packers on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because we're total geeks. But how did you start out?
So 2014, we had the NFC Championship game loss against the Seahawks. And
thanks for bringing it up.
Yep, that's fine. That. Yeah, well, this is empty now. but besides drowning myself in a tub of liquor, I decided to make a reaction video of kind of being like, we're going to win. We didn't. And then just doing that for a minute and a half. And that did well. And so a bunch of Packers fans were like, oh my God, thank you so much. Like, this was so cathartic to me. And I was like, yeah. And so everybody has a podcast. Everybody has one. And so I wanted to do something. If I was going to, and I had no idea what I was doing, I still don't. But if I was going to do something, I wanted to do something different. And so I bring every single week, I bring fans from the opposing team on. Right. We hash it out. We sometimes it's a little violent, but we talk. And I just do that every week. And that's kind of how it got started. And now we're on YouTube. And now I'm sitting here.
Yeah. I like the Khalil Mack reaction video. That's my
favorite. That was outstanding.
That's hilarious.
That was outstanding.
It's so funny.
If you get a chance, YouTube, search it. This guy, Khalil Mack, is pretty phenomenal. Something that's not so phenomenal, however, is a tweet that Corey saw this week from Mr. Peter Bukowski, who I will just say, point blank, I have met Pete. He's a great guy. This tweet, he really set Mr. Banky off.
I didn't even know you were going to talk about this. So I have to,
because you don't look at the script. You never look at the script. Why would you look at the script? That would be foolhardy.
We have a script.
But essentially, what Pete was saying.
Here it is.
Oh, you got it.
All right. So, this is not good. Here's a question I'm dying to know the answer to, Packers fans.
Is this your Peter Bukowski voice?
This is my Peter Bukowski voice.
Okay.
Here's a question I'm dying to know the answer to, Packers fans. Do you even want a repeat of Run the Table if it means coming up short on the Super Bowl again and by extension saves Coach Mac?
What do you think about that, Corey Banky?
I don't like it. That's literally the dumbest shit I've ever seen on the internet in this week, okay?
Just to qualify, this week. Just this week.
You know what? You know what I'm sick of?
What's that?
I'm sick of people who why are we a fan, right?
Right.
You're a fan because you want your team to win. You're not a fan because you're like, I want the coach to be fired, so we gotta lose. That is the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. All you are is a troll and a clickbaiting troll. That's all you are, okay? Now, yours truly is a clickbaiting troll. I have been known myself.
Right.
I'm not as bad as the Nagler, but...
Oh, just stop. Just stop.
I've been known to be a clickbaiting troll, but at least I call myself what I am, okay?
Right.
This is ridiculous, and people fall for this crap, and they follow people that fall for this crap, and I hate it.
You have any thoughts on the subject, Tom?
I think I lost brain cells. I'm rewinding to Billy Madison. It's just that was the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And may God have mercy on your soul. That makes no sense. If you go to the Cleveland Browns, go to the Buffalo Bills, go to any other team that hasn't seen playoffs, and be like, hey guys, you know, would you even want to go to the Super Bowl again? What? No, actually, I would like to just plummet our season into the ground. Mike McCarthy gets fired. We don't find a replacement, and we waste the rest of Aaron Rodgers' career. That's what I would really like.
There are plenty of people who would argue that Mike's doing that himself. I disagree, but I'm sure, I know that those people are.
Here's the thing, though. You're talking to someone. I've been at four, luckily, I've been blessed and privileged, and I thank whoever is the creator that I got to go to four NFC championship games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We only won one. Okay?
It's true.
But I would.
You were there for all four.
But I was there. I was there when Brett Favre and what's his name didn't fall on the ball. I was there.
Jarrett Bush.
Jeez, why did you even say his name? I just wanted to say what's his name. I was there in the front row when Seattle totally crapped the bed and we got Tom Grassi out of it. We birthed Tom Grassi. You know, I was there. I was there in Chicago with Wally Pingle when Raji had the amazing interception and bumbled and stumbled into the end zone.
The only time I ever had to leave a press box.
You know. I was there, and I would give. I wouldn't give those memories away, even the terrible memories. Even watching myself on NFL playoff and
films,
seeing this
NFL
voice,
films.
NFL films, and you see half of my face, and I'm just totally destitute. And I'm the Packer fan who's like the loser. The only time I've been the Packer fan face who's like the winner is when Jared Cook had that amazing catch
in Dallas.
Right. Then ESPN is like, oh, okay, that's cool. But other than that, it's usually like, hey, look, loser Packer fan. He's so mad.
Because you're always in the front row with makeup on and a wig, dude. Like, just be normal, and they won't find you.
I wouldn't give that away for anything.
I feel you. We always used to talk about you doing the show in that costume. You need to do that. We need to make that happen this year. Like you, full face paint, wig, and we go.
I would have to like you more to do that.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Fair point.
You put it this way. If the result of a bad season is McCarthy getting fired, it is what it is. But if you are a fan, you don't root for that. I'd
phrase it just slightly different. I would say, I don't get it, but that people are fans the way they're fans, you know?
Yeah,
it's
that's
like,
true.
I'm not going to tell someone how
but
to
I'm
going to
shit on them.
Well, we're aware.
Snap all over them.
You've done a good job of hiding it.
So, like, that's the suck for luck thing, right? Like, to get a better draft pick kind of thing. Like,
I could never do that. I could never.
Like, I just feel like that takes the fun out of every Sunday. Like, every time, even when we're down 24 points, I'm just like, Packers can come back.
Of course.
Right? Because why not? Because what are you going to do? And just be like, well, this sucks. And then that's it.
And you're just miserable.
And then you're just a miserable person.
Well, I feel the
person.
Same way about fantasy. It's why I don't play fantasy football. Because fantasy, and I don't crap on people who play. A lot of people I know play. Well, right. Nagler, but only Nagler. Yeah. But, you know, it's fine. You can play fantasy. But the problem with fantasy is it shifts my loyalties. And I don't want to shift my loyalties. That's why I don't watch the Brewers. Okay, I'm a purist.
You brought them up this time.
People brought them up in the chat, but like, I don't watch the Brewers because I'm a purist. Now, the problem is on Twitter, everybody's like, oh, they turned it into true fan, real fan.
I don't do
that. Okay, I can shit on you because you say stuff, but I'm not saying you're not a real fan because you say that. That's rude.
I think Nick has it right in the YouTube chat here. Even if we lose a playoff game, it's an extra game we get to watch the Packers play.
Aww.
I see.
That's wholesome.
But I'm serious. I totally think that. I think 100%. That every time, like, it's playoff week, and all of a sudden, there are, like, 25 teams. Their fan bases are done.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
And guess what? I'm still, like, checking stuff online.
Yeah.
I'm still buying merch. I'm still, you know, I'm in it. I'm in the thick of it. And we've had that for how many years?
A long time.
Yeah, a long time.
20 years, thanks to Ron Wolf and Bob Harlan. So, God, just enjoy it. That's
I agree.
Thing. And finally, the one final thing I wanted, this is going to be really quick and then we'll wrap it up. The one thing I wanted to say is, I never say this. In the history of the show, I have never said, go to this website. But I'm saying go to this website today. Go to Packers.com. I am not a company man. I am not a shill. But they have this kid, Cole Tolbert. He was involved with Make-A-Wish. He's a cancer survivor. He got to meet Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams at a practice on the field. The video is outstanding. Go find it. I can't recommend it enough. I was cutting onions here in the office
I
earlier.
Before and I was watching it. I was like,
it's ridiculous. So, I mean, hell, Tom, I can't thank you enough for being here,
no,
man.
Yes. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
It's amazing. We got to do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Like, I am going to live under someone's desk here. It's like, you're just going to call me up and I'm going to be like, oh, guys, I made it here. There's no traffic.
So, any final words there, Benke?
I've said what I
need to say. You said what you need to say. Well, that's good. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connects with us across the internet, be it here at Cheesehead TV or any of our social channels. You guys really help make this a unique fan experience. That's why Corey and I are here, along with Tom. We can't thank him enough for being here. We are and will always be dedicated to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?